Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight. In this 15-minute empowerment, you are going to be encouraged in your Christian walk, in the process of that walk, in your faith, and the purpose that God has for you, and even how you grow through that process. Processes are not easy. They are places where God cuts you down, cuts away, cuts around you, dig around you. It's a place where God will put you on that potter's wheel, and he will begin to make you, even smash some things in your life. But in all of it, you're going to look more like him. You're going to resemble him, bear his character even the more, and your mind is going to become his mind, because this process is a process where we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we take the word of God literally and we apply that word every single day, living by the word of God by faith and obediently trusting God to lead us and guide us in his truth. As we do this, we acknowledge him by trusting him as Lord and Savior, so that everything that we do, we're doing it according to the destiny and the will that God has prepared for us, because we're aligning ourselves with his purpose and his will, and we're aligning ourselves with the destiny that he's purposed for our lives. So as we do so, we find our place, we find our fit, we find our flow, we find our anointing, we find everything that we are in Christ Jesus manifested in our everyday life, and God uses our everyday situations to help bring about that change in us, to help make us, to help take us through that process. And we have to determine how we look at that situation and those problems or issues in our lives, how we look at them and how we grasp and believe the word of God and obediently walk after God's way. That is going to determine the fruit that we bear, the maturity that we have, and how we even see the revelation of God in our lives. God always chooses unlikely people. He chooses them for his glory, and he chooses them so that they can be the vessels that he, and instruments of righteousness that he uses in this last day and time, so others will see and know that he's God and that he lives. How else will they see God unless they see him through us? So we're going to show him, demonstrate him, and live a life that is a worship unto the Lord. We've been looking at an unlikely place of blessing, started this series last year, and looking at different people in the Bible that are blessed in an unlikely place where they can't see or don't understand how God is going to bless them. But he does. And we're looking now in the book of 1 Samuel. We're looking at King David and how he's blessed in an unlikely place and prepared for leadership. So this unlikely place of blessing is not just for him and his family, but it's preparing him for leadership and to be the king over Israel, and how this process, he learns how to trust God more and more, and even in the midst of hard things, he's made into the king that God desires him to be. David was not a man's king, he was God's king. He was chosen by God. And because he was chosen by God, he had a heart after God and wanted to bring God glory. So even when he was treated badly, even when he made mistakes, even when he failed, and we see in the Bible as you study the life of David that he was not perfect, but one thing he did was run to God, worship God. He had forgiveness on his heart always. He was always willing to learn the ways of God, the mind of God. And so because he was tender before God and he kept that posture of being humble and being in a position where he relied and depended on God, we see that God exalted him and did great things in his life. So as believers, as leaders, as worshipers, we always have to stay humble before the Lord, tender before him, so that he can work on us, use us for his will and for his glory. Our heart must be a heart of always running to God with repentance, with forgiveness, with tenderness, openness, not hardness or vengeance or anything like that. We have to make sure that we always align ourselves with the word and the will of God, so that God can even show us mercy when we need it the most. So we're going to go back and we're going to look at this process of King David. He's already killed Goliath. He's here, and we're seeing that Saul has made him an enemy. And we went through the things that Saul did to make David an enemy, and how he no longer allowed David to be entreated with the favor that he had once before, that now he's throwing javelins at him and he's trying to kill him, and that he sent men to kill him. He's sent men to his daughter's house to get David and to kill him while he was in the bed because the daughter said that he was sick and he could not come. So we're seeing here that now this process is getting ready to get even deeper and greater. Now, when David killed Goliath, yes, it was representing the territorial things that would try to be a giant over the nation of Israel, but it was also representing the giant that was going to come after him and pursue him in the form of Saul. And Saul was the giant that came after him, that he had to stand on the word of God and the will of God and not touch or go back at Saul, even though In normal circumstances, he would have been justified. But because David understood that Saul was God's anointed and that he was in the hands of God and that God was his maker and that he could not touch him any kind of way because it was God who had anointed him, even though he was chosen by the people, he still carried the endowment of God's anointed until God lifted it. He was not going to touch him in that form because he recognized authority, God's authority and authority in the earth. And he knew that if anyone was going to deal with Saul, it was going to be God. David knew that he didn't place himself as king, that God did, and that every endowment, talent, or ability that he had was given to him by God. And so he relied on God to bring to pass what he said in his life, and he knew that God, the destiny that God had for him, had to come into fruition because God is not a man that he should lie. He's a covenant-keeping God, and that's how David has walked with God. That's how he's approached his walk with God. He's dependent on God. Even when he was serving in his father's house in the field, he has God in his heart and his mind because God has been his sustainer, his deliverer. God has been his keeper and his protector. So he understands that even when he's running from danger, that God still is going to help him. And even when he gets frustrated because he's human, God still shows up. God still is faithful to him, and he sees the faithfulness of God in his life, and he relies on that because he built an overcoming testimony. He built an assurance in God before he ever became a king or before he ever became part of Saul's army kingdom. When he was in the field, he was building that intimate relationship with God then. We get here and we see that Saul has sent the men back to kill David, to bring him on the bed, and they find out that he's not there, that his daughter has slipped an idol in the bed, and she's put goat's hair in there to make it look as if David was there, and she tells her father that she did it because David said he was going to kill her, which was not true. But she did it because, said that to her father because he was king, and even she had to be subject to the king, or she could face death herself. And we saw that even with Jonathan, David, when Saul was after David, and Jonathan was talking about him around the table, how Saul even tried to threw a knife in the direction of Jonathan, which let him know for sure that David was in grave danger. So David and Jonathan's relationship has been a covenant relationship, a godly relationship, and we see that they stay in covenant with each other even after this happens. Now, when Saul begins to pursue David, David goes and he goes to Ramah, and he holds up there. This is where the prophets were, or this is where Samuel was. And so he goes to the place, back to the place, Samuel representing the word or the mouth of God. He goes back to the word. He goes back to the mouth that spoke over him and decreed and declared that he was going to be the next king. He goes back to what he knew was the foundation of what started this process. And whenever you are in distressed, and even when you're in trouble or you don't know your way, you have to go back to the word of God. And that's what David did. He went back to Samuel, who was representing the word, the mouth of God, and he told him everything that was going on. So in doing so, he was intriguing God, who spoke to him through Samuel and said, "You're going to be anointed to be the king. You didn't ask for this, but you're my man. So I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to make you a great king. So he goes back. And when you go back to God and you go back to his word, you're going to always find that he hasn't changed his mind. Even if you've messed up, even if you haven't even done it the right way the whole time, you're going to find that God hasn't changed his mind about you, but he will align you with his divine will, and he will let you trust him as you go through the process so that you'll be prepared to stand in the place that God has anointed you to stand in and be all that he said that you bear the fruit. Because the position or the place or the event is going to happen. It's going to happen, but you have to be prepared before you get there, because if you're not prepared when you show up there, you will not be able to basically possess that place. You will not stay in that place. You'll be there temporarily. And so God never wanted us to be there temporarily. He wanted us to win victoriously. And as we do that, we do it by faith, knowing that the destiny that God has for us, as we trust him and obey him, and he takes us through this process, we're going to be as he is. We're going to come out as gold. We're going to allow the things of our life that are not like him to rise to the top. Through the pressures that we endure, through the process that we endure, so that we form the character of God. Because when you're under pressure, what's inside of you will come out, no matter who you are. That pressure will make the real you come out, and you want the real you that comes out to always be the character and the life and the light of Jesus Christ. So we have to go through this process so that God can put himself in there, that we run to him, the rock, that we go back to the word, that we grab that word, we grab his word, and we begin to read and eat that word, living it out daily so that we can become more like him. Now, Saul sends soldiers to where David is and where Samuel is, and each time he sends them, he sent three different sets. Each time he sends them, they begin to prophesy. They begin to prophesy, and they're prophesying what God wills. They're prophesying the will of God. They're prophesying the life of God. And they're prophesying, I believe, about David and the position that God has placed him in. Now, Saul himself goes to go and get David this time, the last time. And when he goes, he strips himself naked, and he began to prophesy morning till night. He began to prophesy, and he did it naked. And he prophesies, and he says after he finishes prophesying, and he basically says what God's will is for David's life, what he is and what he's been anointed to do. He basically prophesies, and after he prophesies, he says that he's not going to harm David, he's not going to do any of these things. But we know that that's only temporarily, because his flesh is going to start acting up, and he's going to begin to go after David again, because he knows that David is his replacement. And so many times when the enemy leaves us for a moment when we're still in a process, he's coming back. And so we have to prepare ourselves in those moments where they leave, that we get restored, that we hear from God, that we are resting in his promise and his word, and knowing that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to pulling down a stronghold, so that we're going and doing it with the right attitude, the right faith, the right precepts, motives, and we're doing it according to the will of God. Now, David, in this place that he's in, it's a scary place, because no one can help him but God. Because you will see that Saul goes after him, and he begins to go after him in such a vicious way that anyone who helps David is going to be killed. Anyone who does anything for David, he's going to be killed. So you see, he has to depend on God as his source. He has to look to God as the author and the finisher of his faith, knowing that God is the only one that can stop this and make something greater happen in his life. David needed the help of Jonathan through all of this, and Jonathan remained faithful to him. Jonathan gave him what he needed, and Jonathan was always true to him. God will always have someone there to help you. He will strengthen someone's hands to help you do what you need to do. They're going to be the encouragement. There will be a loyal friend or loyal help to you. And they're going to be the one that's going to stand with you through persecution. They're always going to be the one that's going to know you and talk favorably about you and not join in with the crowd. They're going to be the ones who see you, the real you, and know the heart of you, and not be one of those standing by waiting to pounce on you. This is all the time we have for today, and I'm so encouraged about this study because it builds you up and lets you know what God has called you to do in spite of difficult circumstances or what you go through. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Join me again tomorrow. We're going to have another 15-minute of empowerment of process of there for favor life. God bless you.